दोस्तों, हमने अपने ऑस्ट्रेलिया और भारत के ऐतिहासिक संबंधों के ऊपर पिछले कुछ अंकों में कई तरीके के विषयों पर बात की है। आज हम एक अहम मुद्दे पर बात करेंगे, वो है भारत से ऑस्ट्रेलिया में प्रवासियों का आने पे। और ये शुरुआत हुई थी 19वीं शताब्दी में, जब औपनिवेशिक ऑस्ट्रेलिया में ब्रिटिश राज के दौरान भारत से आए थे कैमेलियर्स और हॉकर्स। जी हाँ, आपने सही सुना, हॉकर्स यानी फेरी वाले। इन लोगों ने एक अहम भूमिका निभाई ऑस्ट्रेलिया के बड़े और छोटे शहरों को यहाँ के रीजनल एरियाज से जोड़ने की। आप आज भी भारतीयों को देख सकते हैं इन रीजनल एरियाज में। तो इसी बारे में हम कुछ और जानते हैं लेन कैना और क्रिस्टल जॉर्डन से, जो कि इस पर शोध कर चुके हैं और इनकी कई किताबें भी हैं। लेन, क्या आप हमें बताएंगे कि हॉकर्स का या फेरी वालों का ऑस्ट्रेलिया के परिदृश्य में कितनी अहम भूमिका रही है?
Well, they were vital to the development of the bush because you've got to understand that Australia was just all bushland, the eastern part of Australia, and the original settlers followed the animal tracks and kangaroo tracks and the Aboriginal tracks through the bush, and they opened up their farms following these tracks, as did my great-great-uncle. And the Indian, they were out in the middle of nowhere and unable to get supplies, and hawkers, and in particular Indian hawkers, and most of them were from the Punjab, Sikhs and Muslims, they carried on their back goods from farmhouse to farmhouse. They might be 10, 20, 30 miles apart, and sold their wares. And they took mail to the farms, letters, and took letters back to be posted in the nearest town. They provided all the essentials for the farms, and the farmers would not have been able to survive. They would have starved. Living out there, they would have had to live off kangaroos. This way they got a few home comforts. The women got needles, pins and laces and that sort of thing. Now, the first hawkers to go through the bush, as I said, were foot hawkers. They carried the wares in backpacks and sugar bags, and also in baskets on their head. It would have been a terrible job because Australia at that time was full of flies and there were snakes on the ground, so they had to have a stick to flick the snakes out of the way, and because the snakes had come out of the bush and bask on the tracks and didn't get the sun in on their skin. And it was quite dangerous and hazardous. And in the early days, they would sleep in caves and in trees and under logs of wood for protection, because they couldn't carry many cooking utensils or food for their own use, because they wouldn't have had room for the stuff that they were merchandising. They were, when the tracks were widened, because people going up and down took branches and trees and widened the tracks, then hawkers were able to go in with pack horses carrying the goods, and they had a much more comfortable life because they could carry their camping gear and tents and blankets and that sort of thing, and a wider range of goods. And then after about 15, 20 years, when the tracks were widened even further by private people, not by the government, by the settlers, then they went in with wagons. And the wagons varied from hand-push carts through to two-wheel carts.
तो ऑस्ट्रेलिया के ग्रामीण क्षेत्रों और बुश में अहम सामग्री पहुंचाकर ये हॉकर्स या फेरी वाले सामान, किताबें, खानपान की वस्तुएं और कई ऐसे पदार्थों को पहुंचा के जीवन रेखा का काम कर रहे थे। साथ में ही ये भारत या चीन से आए हुए मसाले, रेशमी कपड़े और कई तरह की कारीगरी वस्तुएं पहुंचाकर ऐसे लोगों का जो शहरों में आना जिनका आम तौर पे समस्या थी 19वीं और 20वीं शताब्दी में, एक तरीके से रिटेल जायंट थे हॉकर्स। पर ये सिर्फ पाँव पे ही नहीं, ये लोग वैगन्स का भी इस्तेमाल करते थे, जिसके बारे में लेन हमें बताएंगे कि ये वैगन्स क्या थे, इन्हें कौन चलाता था और क्या ये खरीदे जाते थे, क्या ये किराए पे लिए जाते थे?
No, most of the wagons were privately owned. Some worked for bosses and that sort of thing, but basically they were privately owned, and they ranged from two-wheeled wagons up until pushed by one, pulled by one horse, and or hand pushed by the hawker, or larger four-wheel wagons, which would be 2, 4, 6 horses, depending upon the terrain and the size of the wagon. And the wagon itself was set up, and if you look at our website, we'll have a photo there of a wagon, and it's just like a travelling shop. They lift up with windows to lift up, and all the goods were on display. If they weren't near a farm, they would sleep inside the wagon. The wagon was their home, their place of work, and their security. When the hawker arrived at the farm, he would be invited in to the farm and ate meals with them, because the farms were so far apart, have a meal, and more often than not stay the night and sleep on the veranda or in a bedroom, and put their horses out. If the farmer was busy, they'd stay there for a few days and help around the paddock, and particularly in rain, when it was raining and wet, because it's difficult in the mountains in Australia with horses and teams in the wet, because there's no formed roads and they'd slip everywhere. So they'd sleep over and but give their horses a rest and a graze, because when they're on the road, if they'd have to hobble their horses and or tie them up, and they'd be up and down every night for 2 or 3 hours each night to move the horse, so they could have enough to feed, because they couldn't carry feed, because they had all their personal belongings and all their wares in the wagon, so the horses had to bet on just eat where they could get, and there wasn't much, it was nearly all bush tucker, there wasn't much good harvesting hay around at that time.
कई बार इन फेरी वालों को गलत फहमी में गलत नजरिए से भी देखा गया ऑस्ट्रेलिया में. ऐसा माना गया कि ये घर पे रह रही दूरवर्ती इलाकों में घर पर रह रही अकेली औरतों को छेड़ते हैं या उन पर अपना घटिया सामान लादने की कोशिश भी करते हुए पाए गए. क्रिस्टल और लेन, क्या आप बताना चाहेंगे कि इस बात में कितनी सच्चाई है?
Hawkers have always been in Australia, as they are in most countries, but from about 1810 up to about 1860, they were very disreputable, and they weren't Indians, they were ex-convicts and Englishmen and that sort of thing, and they preyed on women that were on farms on their own, and there was a big government inquiry, and then as a result of that, hawkers had to get a license from the courts. They had to attend personally, they had to speak English, and they had to be of reputable reputation. And all those hawkers did not qualify, and the Indian hawkers took their place, along with a few Chinese and Lebanese, took their place. And as a result of that, the Indian temperament, where the Indian is much more refined than the average Australian bush worker at that time, there was a big rapport between the women and the hawkers, and there was complaints against the hawkers, there was complaints hawkers made against the women, but when you consider the number of hawkers, there was thousands of hawkers and they were calling on people every day, there's only a handful of complaints, and every complaint that was taken to court, which would be very, very few, was found in the hawkers, Indian hawkers' favour. They were greatly respected by the whole community, not only like my parents, where the hawker came and my mother bought goods off him, and we had Saturday night meal. He used to cook our Saturday night meal for us and tell us stories of India. And that's how I got involved, one of the reasons I got involved in Indian hawking.
दोस्तों, आज भी इन भारतीय फेरी वालों की तस्वीरें यहाँ के स्थानीय म्यूजियम्स और लोगों के घरों में देखी जा सकती हैं। भारतीय फेरी वालों को हमेशा से ही सही दृष्टि से देखा गया. बच्चे इन्हें पसंद करते थे, औरतें इनकी इज्जत करती थी, ना केवल इनके काम के लिए बल्कि नियत पर भी. तो दोस्तों, आप अंदाजा लगा सकते हैं कि जब ये फेरी वाले ऑस्ट्रेलिया के ग्रामीण क्षेत्रों में सामग्री लेके पहुंचते होंगे तो वहां के पुरुषों और महिलाओं की खुशी का ठिकाना नहीं रहता होगा. तो आइए जानिए क्रिस्टल जॉर्डन से एक ऐसे ही फेरी वाले के बारे में जिसने अपने अच्छे काम से ग्रामीण लोगों का दिल जीत लिया.
Paula Singh, I'll carry on from where Len left off, yeah, because he was saying, you know, even in the bad weather and things like that, yeah, and that some hawkers had up to 6 horses. Well, Paula Singh was one of those hawkers. He was very, very well respected. He worked up, he lived in around the Wodonga area and worked around anywhere from Wodonga to Langata and up to Kooriong and the Upper Murray, in the Upper Murray District area. And that's why he had the six horses, because a lot of that terrain is quite mountainous up that way. He had his uncle that worked with him, Uncle Isa, and the two of them worked well together. And he carried a lot of drapery and all different types of equipment that Len was talking about before, the same as the other hawkers. And not only did he hawk, but he won a lot of prizes with his horses at the local shows, and was quite well known for having well-groomed and well-stocked horses that were strong and healthy. But one time when Pola Singh was at Kooriong, there'd been a lot of rain, and he had to stay over on the Whitehead, one of the Whitehead properties, and the horses were sort of left just to graze. And when the rain ceased, Pola, a couple of days later, Pola and his uncle Isa started off on their journey again, and the ground was very muddy and slippery and slimy, and he had to walk in front of the horses. And while he was walking in front of the horses, they took fright, and there was an accident and bolted, and Pola Singh was run over by the horses and the struck in the head, and unfortunately died that same day in hospital, in the Kooriong Hospital. He was helped by the local people to get to hospital, the Whitehead family, and the whole town made sure that Pola Singh's Indian friends knew about his death, and the cremation was held at Kooriong, and he was cremated in the local cemetery there. He used to attend the Methodist Church, so he was well known in the religious areas of the town as well. And his cremation was attended by a man named Archie Whitehead, who was only 11 at the time. And some years later, in 2010, Pola was still not forgotten. And Len and I were asked to open a plaque on the spot where he was cremated. There's been a grave set aside there, and his name is on that plaque. And considering he came to Australia in about 1890, and he was about 65 at the age of his death, His memory will never be forgotten in the Kooriong area, because he was just so well respected in that area.
And just to add to that, a couple of little things. One is, I judged the Man from Snowy River Poetry, which is a very high-profile poetry competition up there, and the Historical Society took me down and into their museum, and there's a photo of him in really decayed state now, but about 15 feet long and about 8 feet high, and one of the chapter was showing me said, there's me sitting on the fence of the photo watching the cremation. And the other thing too is that he attended the local Presbyterian church. I apologise, Methodist Church.
The young man that I was talking about that was at the cremation, Archie Whitehead, he actually came to the unveiling, and he was about 98 at that time, and he has since died in 2013. And so his age group would be about the last living people that would remember the hawkers. So most of those people that remember, I mean, their families remember and keep the stories going, and people like the Historical Society that have put up the plaque. But actually, the people that were Archie's age group have sort of nearly all died out, and that's why Len and I have tried to preserve all these stories and follow them up and get the actual facts so that they're there for the Indian community. so they'll remember that these pioneers did help open up the country and what they did for Australia.
दोस्तों आप अंदाजा लगा सकते हैं कि ये भारतीय फेरी वाले उस समय के ऑस्ट्रेलिया में कितना महत्वपूर्ण योगदान दे रहे थे, ना केवल शहरों को ग्रामीण इलाकों से जोड़ने का, बल्कि सामग्री, खबरें और कई तरह की अन्य सुविधाओं को पहुंचाने का।